Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I want to thank everybody again for welcoming my family and I over the past couple months. I've gotten to know many of you. I look forward to getting to know many more of you as we serve Christ together over the next couple months. I was excited when Josh asked me to share about identity. First of all, let me say, when Josh told me the series, Who Do You Think You Are, is anybody else fighting the urge to say Mr. Big Stuff? Or is it, all right, maybe it's not just me. Okay, but anyway, it's very personal to me. It's a truth that when I realized this and God brought this in my heart, it changed my whole life. And that's why this week I kept thinking about, there's an old country song called The Ride. It says, Drifter, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? So I hope this morning, this thing that God has done in me, this truth, I hope that I'm able to convey that to you this morning. Because it's not a story about me. It's just a real story about real power that God did in me.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Where was I now?
Okay, and that truth that I want to share with you this morning is that you are created by God to glorify Him and enjoy Him. And that's something we'll look at. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 10. But before we get there, I want you to think about something. The Bible tells us who God says we are. And that's really who we are, as He is our creator. But first, I want us to think about something. I want to talk about wrecks, and not like major wrecks, but like minor fender benders, because it's something personal to me. You know, I'd heard that mailboxes were really quick, and if you don't watch them, they'll jump out in front of you. Well, mine jumped out in front of me going out the driveway the other day. And so, well, it done some damage to my truck. So I want to tell you about a little town that was dealing with an issue with wrecks at a certain intersection in their city. So because the city became concerned about the amount of wrecks and everything, they got together, they held a town hall, and they got together and they talked about the issue. So here's what they started asking all kinds of questions. So they finally come up with, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start pumping money into our emergency services. We're going to have better response teams. We're going to plan. We care about our people, and we're tired of seeing these wrecks. So this is what we want to do. We want to put all this money into ambulance services, our EMTs, and we want better hospital staff to take care of these people. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So they did that. Then they came back a year later, and they reviewed everything that had happened over the past year. Well, not a whole lot had really changed. There were still the same amount of wrecks. People were still getting hurt. So they're like, well, what do we do? So they started asking different questions with a different focus. This time, they decided that they would put money and focus on something else. That they would put a red light up, better signage. They would repaint the lines and maybe put up some reflectors. They would have a police presence that was there to help things. So then, they come back a year later, after they'd done that, and they looked at it again. As they were better equipped and asked different questions, they had a different focus, they noticed something. There were less wrecks. My point being, what is your focus? Are you asking the right questions in your life? Because we all want to know the answer to those big questions in life, right? What is the meaning of life? We look for those answers. What is my purpose? What is my identity? How do I fit into this crazy place we call the United States and this earth in Knoxville, Tennessee? I believe that's the wrong question. not even to ask, what is my identity? I believe the right question is, who is God? Because we are created by God for a certain purpose. We cannot know ourselves apart from God. Before we even know our identity, who we are, we have to know who God is. So maybe our focus, our emphasis needs to be changed. Because having a right focus and asking the right questions can change everything. You know, it's kind of like if I were to sit up here and start talking about cars. I'm sure we got some car people out there. If I was to start saying names like Ford, Chevy, Nissan, Toyota, all of a sudden, you start thinking about those cars. Somebody was talking to me this week about how nice those heated bumpers are for Ford trucks so you can push them. It makes them not a lot easier to push them. Well, because it took y'all a minute to get that one. Thank you for those that laughed at that. When we know something about our Creator, who created us, that's going to tell us a lot about ourselves. It's going to tell us everything we ever need to know and want to know. How much we're loved, how and why we were created, and all that stuff. Again, we know God, we'll know ourselves, we'll know our purpose, we'll know our identity. See, He loves us. He has and will do great things. And you will find a life that has fulfillment and satisfaction. All those answers to those questions you're looking for will come when you really focus in on who is God. Everything else will come after that. Because again, you are created by God to glorify and enjoy Him. We forget that second part a lot of times. We feel like, oh, I'm just supposed to work and do all these things to make God's name known. No, there's a part. We were made to enjoy Him. Let's look at our scripture this morning. We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stone of stumbling. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So we talked about identity and what you were made and created to do. So with Jesus as the defining force in our life, His story becomes our story. His story becomes our story. See, we were created in the image of God. Out of all of creation, us humans, people, we're the only thing that were created in His image. That in and of itself says a lot about how chosen and precious and how much we are loved. But the purpose of that, we were supposed to be in relationship with Him, to enjoy His presence. So what happened? You might be saying, well, my life's not exactly like that. Well, yeah, there's a reason for that. The image got distorted. See, when God created Adam and Eve, it was awesome. It was perfect. They were in perfect relationship with Him. Everything was as it was intended to be. Well, then things went bad. The serpent said to Adam and Eve, "Did God really say? Did God really say?" and they doubted. They started to doubt. They doubted God's word and what he had told them to do. They thought they could do it on their own. See, God had asked them to express their faith by not doing something. So they did it, like my kids. Tell them not to do something, they do it. And that affects us today. In there lies the root of all sin, really in our life today. We decide we know better. We know a certain way to do things. So we do it our way. Did God really say? So that's why God, as being holy and just, there's judgment. And in these verses we read, there's a sharp contrast between believers and non-believers. It's unpleasant, but it's there, and we have to talk about it. There's judgment. There will be people who will stumble and fall over Jesus Christ. They will struggle with the idea of him because it means change. I can't do this. They have preconceived notions, or they just don't want to believe. See, judgment, it's an unfortunate part of it, but it's real. Without judgment, there's no hope. And let's be honest, it makes hope and salvation that much brighter when we realize there's an alternative. But see, we have to realize we weren't made for that type of judgment. Remember, we were originally created to be in relationship with God, to not be apart from him. God does not want anybody to have to face that judgment. He wants us all to come to him, to be in that relationship with him. But things go wrong. In my life, all the time, I have hurt. I have to refocus my life. My focus gets out of whack. You know, things happen. We have those wrecks in our life, which means we look for fulfillment in the wrong places. I often tell a story about a washing machine. We all probably have a washing machine. We know how to use it. So I say, what if, you know, washing machine, it washes things, right? So maybe I'll take my dishes and I'll throw them in the washing machine. And then it goes into that spin cycle and we just hear glass breaking and all our dishes breaking. Now, I would say that most of us would go in there and we probably wouldn't be too mad at that washing machine that all of our dishes are broke. Why? Well, because if you got any sense, you realize that's not what that washing machine was made for. However, in our life, we do things that we weren't made for, and you know, we'll get upset and mad at ourselves when we live our life in a way that wasn't intended, apart from God, when we doubt God's word. So, you know, don't put your dishes in the washing machine. And then the first verse we read starts off with a beautiful saying. It says, as you come to him. This week, nothing that I say or talk about today can ever be realized in your life if you never come to Christ. It's not possible, because where there was that separation from sin in our life, there's no way to ever get back to God without Jesus Christ. No other way. You cannot find true meaning, joy, happiness, salvation, unless there's Christ. Because apart from God, those things don't exist. Those are things that come from God and from God alone. So you have to come to him. So what is exactly that Peter is saying here, as he's saying, as you come to him? What is that? So let's look at 1 Peter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses here. In verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance. That's what God offers through his Son that comes from nowhere else. Again, apart from God, things like meaning, happiness, joy, fulfillment, they just don't exist. They don't exist. So if we're talking about identity, well, what is an identity? Identity is who you think you are. Everything in your life will flow out of who you think you are. In human life, there's no true meaning. There's no feeling of being alive without a sense of identity, which will drive our purpose. See, identity and meaning, purpose, those go hand in hand. And many things will try to give us identity and define who we think we are. They will influence us. And identity is what I think I need to be also. A lot of things will tell us what we think we need to be. And think about everything that tries to tell us who we are. Social media. And who we want everybody else to think we are. And try to tell everybody else who we are. And as we look at other people, that influences us. Sports. Our jobs. School. I realize peer pressure is not just for kids. It's real. It exists in all ages. And again, it's magnified even more today in the age of social media. These things influence who we are and thus our purpose. Because identity is the sum of everything that shapes us, pertains to us. It's our sense of being, self-understanding. Identity drives life. So it is important that we realize who we are, what we are created to do. Because again, apart from that, you're not going to find answers to all these questions that we all have in life, the longing that we have deep inside our souls. So something will have defining force over your life. Well, you might be saying, well, ain't none of that influences me. I do what I want. Well, Mr. Tough Guy, what controls your wants? So no matter how tough you think you are, or how oblivious you are to everything that influences you, there is something and some things that have control over who you think you are. And it's important that we allow Jesus to have that defining force over who we are. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It talks about something that happens to us when we come to Christ. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creators. After the image of its creator. See how the image was distorted first through Adam and Eve can now be brought back into focus through Christ. So being created in the image of God is more than merely pointing to God and reflecting his character. It's also about connection to God. Living in relationship with him. Just enjoying him. And everything that he does as we come to Christ. As we're brought back into focus. A connection that was lost. God wanted to restore it so bad that he sent his Son so it could be restored. That's who you are. That's how much you are loved. That a relationship wanted to be restored so bad by God that he sent his Son. And And something happens when God, when we come to Christ, our focus inside, it says we're renewed. Something about our thinking changes. We become more like Christ. We instantly become something that we weren't before. Instantly become something we weren't before. Again, that comes only through Christ. We look at life different. We give Jesus the power to transform and define our life. And then we find out who we are by Him revealing Himself to us as Jesus revealed God perfectly. How we fit into His purposes, how we should live because of our identity. See, His character shows how much He loves us. And I think a lot of times when we look at the Bible, we have a tendency to focus on the characters. Adam, Eve, Moses, all the characters and all the parables. But see, if you think about it, looking at all those characters in the Bible, those real life people, that can be depressing. Because they mess up a lot, right? So the point of the Bible is not so we can see how all these people mess up. It's God revealing Himself to us, His character. Not how much everyone in the Bible messes up, but how everyone messes up, God still chases and redeems and loves. That's true for us. That's what God does for us. What He desires for us. So what does the scripture today, what does it really say about who we are? I think this is the greatest declaration of our identity and purpose in all of scripture. It's all condensed right here. They say we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, His possession, chosen. And by the way, in other parts of the Bible, and we may think of them this, these titles may look like commands or things we're supposed to do, and they are. Here, they're simply declarations of who God says we are. Defining words as seen through the eyes of our Creator. And that we're a priesthood means that we now have access to God. We can enjoy Him, that you were chosen. I don't need to tell anybody how important it is to be chosen. If anybody's ever been picked last, you know how important being chosen is. But perhaps better than out of anything, out of all those words that God says we are in this scripture, it says that we are living stones. See, also in this scripture, it says that Jesus is a living stone. Wait, that can't be right. Now, it's not saying we are God or that we are Jesus. But Peter is referring to us both, people and Jesus, as living stones. As a living stone, we get to join up with Jesus. As the cornerstone, how important is it for the foundation of a house? Well, important if you like straight walls and like for houses to like stand up and, you know, remain standing and stuff, that the walls and everything are straight. Well, that can't happen if the cornerstone isn't straight. How can our lives be in order if we're not up against Christ as the cornerstone and everything else built up and out off of that? So having Christ as our cornerstone, to be joined up with Him, it's important. Exponentially important. Everything else will be level. We fix on Him. And then even better, the house that's being built up and restored takes the shape of Christ. Not our own shape. Takes on the shape of Him as everything is built around Him. We find Jesus precious and respond in faith. In And he is the cornerstone which now our life in community takes place. Because see, we come to him. It says we are built up and restored. So this is reminiscent of the old temple, the Old Testament temple where God dwelt. There was a specific place where they felt God dwelt, and it was in the temple. Now he dwells in us and with us. The Holy Spirit does something in us where it builds and restores us. Because again, we were created to be in relationship. He wants to be in us and with us. And this is how he dwells with us now. And see, today in our society, we lose sight of several things. But one of the things we lose sight of when we're looking at Scripture is we read it individually. God came to save me. The original readers of this would have saw it a different way. God came to save us. See, priesthood, chosen, these are all plural. You can't build a house with one stone. So for some of you, think you know, the world's built around you or that you yourself can be a house. We need each other. For a house to be built, there has to be stones. So this is meant for us to come together, to be built up together in Christ. This is not the identity of individuals, although it pertains to us. It's the identity of a whole group as we come together in this house that Jesus is building and restoring. And it's the most important task of the church, the most important act of discipleship in shaping our identity. It's not a call to settle for what we are, to be thrown off course by what happened to us, but to shape our life together in response to God. To shape our life together in response of God, response to God. We're not bound by our tendencies, even if they're hard to overcome. And I know some of them are hard to overcome. We're not bound by those. It's a call to come together with Christ as the cornerstone as he builds and restores us all together for his purpose. And then in the process of that, we just get to enjoy who he says we are and what he's done in us and amongst us. Again, not only to glorify him, but to enjoy him. You can't taste the enjoyment if you've never come and had that faith in Christ. Or maybe you just need to refocus your life. Switching gears a little bit, Paul was someone that saw that what he had done, Paul persecuted the church, killed people. He struggled a little bit with his history. But he also realized that his history did not define him. But Jesus did. Let's look what he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. It says, last of all, as one... let me read what I got here. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Says, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. The Bible places a huge emphasis on history as identity. And let's be honest, we let our histories define us. A lot of times the way it defines our history defines us is it weights us down and holds us down because we can't move past that shame and guilt. And we let it, we can't shake it. And this is important. because by faith we have adopted Christ's story as our own. Our true history is the story of Christ, into which we are grafted in our faith with Him. We become immersed in that story of grace and redemption, and our story of shame and guilt no longer pertains. Christ brings us out of that. We lay our lives, damaged and all, in the hands of God. We confess the parts of the story that aren't good. And we go with Christ as our cornerstone. And Paul, he's making the most freeing statement in the world, that we are not bound, that he was not bound, that we are not bound by that, but that we can come to Christ in his story. Because Paul is not saying, he's not saying to God, I am who I am, I'm not going to change. He's not saying, leave me alone, let me do my own thing. It's not a statement by Paul that he takes grace lightly, that it's a license that I've been forgiven, I'm stamped, I'm going to heaven, now I can do what I want. It's not what Paul is saying. It's a statement by someone whose life was turned around, reordered, that God had taken his deadfulness, his sinfulness, and created value in his life, created a new identity. See, what Paul realized is Jesus loves you where you are, but he also loves you too much to keep you there. That's an important part that we forget. He loves us where we are, but his love is so intense, his power is so great, that he doesn't leave us where we are. He brings us up out of that together. And yet it doesn't mean that times will be easy. Things will continue to be tough at times. Jesus was rejected, obviously faced some hard times. But just as Jesus was chosen and precious to God, we are that precious as well. Once our story is grafted into that great story of redemption, we become instantly connected. Our history becomes Him. We have the opportunity to one day be glorified just as Jesus was glorified. That inheritance that talked about at the beginning of 1 Peter, that is ours. That is something that we can't lose. That is hope. That is something to look forward to. That is what we were created to receive. And this all says what our identity is, or who God says our identity is. How loved we are, what we are created to be. God chose us as His special creation to enjoy Him, to glorify and enjoy Him. John Piper wrote this book called Desiring God, Meditations of a Christian Hedonist. I know it sounds like an inappropriate movie title, especially to be talking about on a Sunday, right? But in this book, pretty thick book too, he talks about enjoying God. How great would life be if we just sat around and enjoyed forgiveness, that shame and guilt were gone. How great and powerful God is. That's the pinnacle of the Christian life. To be in relationship with God and just enjoy Him. And how great He is. But I think something will happen when we enjoy that. We are redeemed by Christ to know the joy of God's love and make it known to others. Anybody ever have anything you didn't know how to use or know how to use correctly? I've seen a lot of those, the stuff on the internet and Facebook. I think they're so funny. It says, I was today old when I figured out. Anybody ever seen those? And it has all these things that, who knows if they're true or not, but things that we may or may not use appropriately. But when you figure out how to work something that's been frustrating to you, you get excited, right? Well, I had one of those moments where I was today old when I figured something out, and I want to share it with you all. Plungers. A plunger is a plunger, right? Not exactly. These are two different plungers made for two different purposes. Does anybody know? I heard it. Toilet and a sink. Yes. This one was made for your sink. Who knew they made plungers for sinks, right? This one is for your sink. This one, well, it's for the other room in your house. All right? And if there's something you don't want to happen, you don't want to have both of these in your house and everybody not know which room they belong to and what they go to. You don't want to get these confused. But there was my when I figured something out moment, and I wanted to share that with you guys. But I did this with my life for many years. This is a truth that's personal to me. I spent many years of my life trying to find fulfillment in baseball. Many years trying to find fulfillment down at bars. All the things that we're not created to do and chase after. And because of that, inside, for years, I felt questions, more darkness. But I tell you, once I realized who I was created to be with, life changed. My outlook on life changed. Why? Because God did something in me. Because I realized how good He was. And I got to live in a different way and find fulfillment that I had never even dreamt of before. You know, I tried to find my identity in baseball, and I got immersed in that culture. That controlled me, what I did, what I said, the way I treated people. It controlled who I was, how I interacted with people. And again, I'm not Bobby Boucher's mommy from The Waterboy saying sports are the devil. I do want you to think about what you spend time on during the week, what you live for, what you want to make known. Sports are a good thing. But what's your purpose and intent behind it? Are you focused in on where that relates in life and to your identity? Again, something will control you. Something will be your defining force. And those things will lead to more questions, more searching, more false hope. Isaiah 43:21 says, the people whom I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. You see, God is so good that He satisfies the longings of our soul, brings us fulfillment when we glorify Him. Those things go hand in hand. They're not exclusive. We will find fulfillment when we glorify Him. And He's not some stingy, arrogant leader who just wants people to make Him his name known, although that is His main purpose, that He would be made known But that's what we were created for, to be in relationship with Him, to enjoy Him, that He would satisfy the longings of our soul. And He will be made known. He will be made known. Because you see, Christ, a lot of times, I think we use the term Christian as an adjective. So I'm a Christian businessman, or this is, we define ourselves by what kind of work we do. But yeah, I also go to church here. Christians should not be an adjective that describes who we are. It should be who we are. I should be a Christian in my workplace. I should be the church where I live, work, and play. The church, a Christian, a Christ follower, somebody chosen and loved, is who I am. Baseball may be what you do. Where you work may be what you do. But in Christ is who you are and who you were meant to be. It is not meant to be an adjective, but who you are. Moving on to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as our servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, we find our identity, just like I was excited to share with everybody what plungers were made for. You'll get so excited, you'll start proclaiming His glory. You'll start sharing it with others. It'll be so good. It'll be something you won't want to keep it for yourself. I want you to think about one thing: cancer. I would say it's pretty safe to bet that cancer has affected everyone in this room, whether you've had cancer, someone you've known has had cancer, or died from cancer. It affects us all. What if? Let's say, what if? What if you had a cure for cancer? What if we had a cure? I bet not one of us would keep it to ourselves. We would go, we would share that. Many people would be cured and healed. Because a cure for cancer would be that good. Why don't we feel like Christ is that good and what He's done in our life, that we want to go and share it with the dying and hurting world? Christ is that good. He's better than a cure for cancer. It's worth sharing. It's something to be excited about, to tell others about. But have you experienced it? Have you found your identity in the power of Christ? Do you realize how much you were loved? That to restore the relationship, God sent His Son to die for you. That His story could become your story. That shame and guilt no longer had to define you. But that grace and mercy and love can now be what defines you. Life would be different. This world would be a different place. So here's my question that I'll close with. It comes with the Westminster Confession of Faith, an old, old document. And it says, what is the chief end of man? It says the chief end of man is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And I always tell everybody, notice there's an and. Glorify and enjoy Him. See, those two things do not come apart. They have to come together. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a lot different than a peanut butter or jelly sandwich. Keep that in mind. That and is very important. Glorify and enjoy Him. If you're tired of asking the wrong questions, if you want real hope, real purpose, real identity. You want to join your history to that of Christ for his story to become your own, to experience God's love as chosen people, his precious creation. Jesus is waiting for you to come to him to experience and know this real truth about who you are. He takes great joy in you experiencing his redeeming love. It's his pleasure to save you. Let's pray.